Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Campus Activewear Limited Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Before we proceed on this call, let me remind you that the discussion may contain forward-looking statements that may involve known or unknown risk, uncertainties, and other factors. It must be viewed in conjunction with our business that could cause future results, performance, or achievements to differ significantly from what is expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. The Campus Activewear's management team is represented by Mr. Nikhil Agarwal, Whole-Time Director and CEO, and Mr. Sanjay Chhabra, CFO. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nikhil Agarwal, Whole-Time Director and CEO, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Thank you all for joining us today for our Quarter 2 and H1 FY26 earnings call. I'm excited to share with you the performance of our company in the second quarter and the first half of FY26. Our results reflect the strength of our distribution-led strategy and our unwavering focus on high-growth categories. This quarter, we experienced strong revenue growth of 16%, while our profit after tax surged by 40%. This remarkable achievement is primarily driven by the robust momentum in our distribution business, delivering a 20% growth YOY. During the quarter, Campus Activewear's annual retailer meet 2025, themed Move Together, Grow Together, reflected our brand philosophy of Move Your Way and emphasized our commitment to co-creating progress with our extensive retail network. The event was not just about showcasing our product portfolio. It was a celebration of our shared momentum and the evolving insights into consumer needs. From trendy sneakers to women's athleisure, our retail partners are truly the heartbeat of our movement across India. The event was attended by 150 retailers, thereby enhancing our consumer engagement, bolstering our distribution network, along with a higher brand visibility. Our online sales saw modest growth of 5.7%, influenced by the timing shift of major festive sales, post-announcement of GST reforms. Moving to category performances, I would like to highlight the outstanding performance of our premium segment, that is 1500 plus price point, the saliency of which has improved from 45.2% to 57.2% YOY, leading to an improvement in ASP by Rs. 50 during quarter 2 FY26. We are also thrilled to announce that actor Kriti Sanon is the new face of our women's category at Campus Activewear. This partnership positions us to build on our momentum by enhancing our design language, delivering innovative products specifically tailored for women, and reinforcing Campus's leadership in this rapidly growing category. During the quarter, we have seen an encouraging improvement in the women's category mix, aligning perfectly with our strategy to broaden our appeal across diverse demographics. Operationally, we are committed to investing in our future. We are excited to announce plans for the new factory at Pantnagar to further augment our premium upper capacity. We continue to invest in marketing to fuel our brand building initiatives, which are already translating into tangible growth across all channels. Looking ahead, we remain optimistic about the future. The recent reductions in GST rates are expected to spur demand, and we anticipate sustained momentum in our premium segment, bolstered by our distribution strength and capacity expansion plans. We are dedicated to delivering consistent growth, enhancing shareholder value, and creating long-term opportunities for all our stakeholders. I thank all the stakeholders for their continued support and belief in our vision. Thank you, and now I hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Sanjay Chhabra, to take you through more details on this quarter.
Thank you, Nikhil. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us in Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings call for the campus. I would first take you through the highlights of the performance. Our operating revenue grew by 16% YOY to INR 387 crores in quarter 2 FY26, largely driven by distribution channel, which has registered a growth of 20%. online channel has grown by 6%. The company sold roughly 5.75 million pairs of shoes in this quarter versus 5.36 million pairs last year. The average selling price grew by 8% YOY to rupees 672 versus 622 per pair last year. During the quarter, business model with our online channel partners got realigned. Our channel partners are now directly charging goods transportation charges from their customers, and accordingly our revenue and freight and commission expenses are lower by rupees 8 crores. The overall revenue growth versus last year is adversely impacted by approximately 2% due to this change in business model. Women's share in revenue mix has improved from 14.2% last year to 16.2% during quarter 2 FY26. Our gross margins were at 53.9% in quarter 2 versus 52.8% during last year, driven by better product mix and selective price corrections, fully offsetting the ASP reduction in online channel due to the above said change in business model. Our EBITDA for this quarter was at INR 55 crores. The EBITDA margin stood at 14% during the quarter, an improvement of 140 basis points versus last year, driven by higher gross margins. Our PAT for the quarter was INR 20 crores. The PAT margin stood at 5.1% during the quarter, an improvement of 90 basis points versus last year, again driven by the gross margin improvement. Our balance sheet continues to show strength and robust return ratios, such as return on capital employed and return on equity of 16.6% and 18% respectively as at the end of quarter. The net working capital days also improved to 82 days versus 92 days during quarter 2 last year, despite higher inventory buildup for the upcoming season. Our current borrowings have increased during the quarter to meet our immediate working capital requirements, but we see these borrowings to normalize by end of financial year. With this summary, I will now conclude my remarks and open the floor to the moderator for the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Devanshu Bansal from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my question and congratulations on a good growth pickup. So, Nikhil, so most FMCG peers are reporting some dip in volumes due to channels focus on clearance of higher price inventory as these prices were sort of scheduled to be cut during the quarter. I wanted to check if there was any growth impact of this change for us also during Q2.
Hi, Devanshu. So, no, we did face 15 days of disruption in September after the GST cut announcement and by the postponement of the festive season sales, the BBD and all. But, yeah, that was, I mean, we were well positioned by then, you know, for the quarter, and we've been able to still deliver like 7.5% volume growth. So is there anything else you wish to understand in this regard?
Yes, so Nikhil, so my question was, as in growth has been very decent in Q2, so do you see that the channel inventory is now at below normal levels, and Q3 we may see even faster growth? So that was the intent of this question.
So, I mean, we do expect, you know, GST benefit to create, you know, better demand for sure, and what we can do from our side is basically focus on execution on the back end and front end. That's what we have really done and built up inventory, both at the company level and at and good primary, yeah, right, at the distribution level. So, you know, we as and when, as you know, the markets open up, we are fully geared up to capitalize on the demand.
Fair enough. And with this GST reduction, another benefit that has happened is the price advantage that unorganized players sort of used to enjoy has sort of significantly reduced now. Any initial signs that you're picking from higher shelf space allocations for, say, organized brands like us at the retail store? So any initial signs that you, if you can highlight?
Well, we have also reduced, like everybody else, we have also taken a cut on pricing, reflect the GST benefit to the ultimate consumer. And we do, you know, expect that, so over long term, I mean medium and long term, definitely this is going to expand volume for organized players. And that is what we are, you know, so that is part of our strategy in terms of capacity expansion as well. And we expect volumes to further grow on this basis.
As Nikhil mentioned fairly on the GST cuts, I mean, barring that, even our distributor channel inventory remains consistently at 100 odd days. So there's no increase, or I would say there's no decrease. And we are hopeful that the way secondaries are shaping up, the momentum would continue.
Fair enough, sir. Fair enough. And lastly, I wanted to understand, we have been sort of investing in capacity expansion for both uppers and soles in the company itself. So wanted to check currently in our P&L, what is the cost of these uppers and soles that we are sourcing from third party? So just if you could provide some clarity there.
Okay, just to do a small correction here, we are not... we did invest in sole capacity augmentation last year. Current year, it is focused around upper capacity expansion. And the intent behind this investment is to have a control over the supply chain, in particular in the premium segment, wherein the fabricators or the job workers don't do a high-end capex for the premium upper. And that is something which we need to do in-house. And we realize that the way demand is moving towards the premium upper or sneaker side of the business, we need to augment that capacity, and in pursuit of that only these investments have been made. The costing part, of course, in-house is always better, slightly better compared to outsourced version. The initial capex is, yes, an investment to do.
Okay, just small follow-up. So,
sorry to interrupt,
guess,
Mr. Yeah, Devansh. Sure, may we please request you to rejoin? Thank you, sir. Yeah. Next question is from the line of Gaurav Jogani from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question, sir, and congratulations on the strong set of growth. So my question is twofold. First, on the revenue part, if we look at your online absolute volumes also, the online absolute volumes have kind of declined. And I'm understanding this is largely because of the shift in the big billion day sale, right? So probably the spend that we have done ahead of the festive should benefit in Q3. Is that the right understanding?
That's correct, Gaurav, yes. So there has been a shift of sales that way, but the marketing has been spent with that regard. So overall, so Q3, also, Q4, sorry, go on.
Sorry. So I was just saying that Q3, Q4 ideally should see better margins, given that the advertisement spends have been a bit front-ended.
So yes, advertisement was just a phasing effect. Like, we've seen about 10.5% AMP expense in quarter two, which should have been 8.5, right? So this is just a phasing thing. We expect the overall AMP expense for the entire year to still end up at around 8.5%. As same as last year.
And you can just only the aligned question here. You know, the D2C offline has kind of seen a very smart 35% growth, albeit on a very low base. And we have seen, you know, LFS doors have increased by 200 doors QOQ. So does this help the increasing in the LFS is largely the reason for the increase in contribution from the D2C offline channel?
That's correct, yes. LFS has picked up quite well with the addition of new doors and new accounts. So while we are stable on the EBO front, LFS has, and LFS export little bit, and also both of them have contributed to the additional D2C offline growth.
Sorry, Nikhil, I just asked you in between LFS export and one more thing you mentioned. Sorry.
Defense channels.
Okay, defense. Okay. And just lastly, one question on the, again, the distribution side. While, you know, we have seen a handsome 20% growth, are the secondary sales also tracking in line in the month of October? Because as sir mentioned that, you know, there is 100 days of inventory typically at the distributor level. So are the primary secondary now very much aligned? And so just, you know, there's no channel filling ahead of the festive season is what the question is.
Gaurav, I mean, with the announcement of GST, there was a fair bit of, I would say, trade spend aligned both towards primary and secondary. So there, our focus was to keep the inventory in the channel at same level instead of letting it increase for whatever reason. So we are perfectly fine with the channel inventory levels. They are not skewed anyways.
And sir, I'm hopefully the October month has also trending well. If you can give some sense on that.
So far, so good is how I would put it.
Okay, sure, sir. Thank you. I'll come back.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Umang Mehta from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a strong revenue growth print. My first question was again on MBO. Is there anything different in terms of the product mix? Maybe you can talk about how sneakers grew, which was, you know, driving some delta on growth, because otherwise this channel was growing at somewhere like 8-9%, right, since last three quarters. So has anything different happened which you can kind of give color on?
Okay, it's more around execution, as Nikhil mentioned earlier. Like, we are focusing both on the back end, product development and execution in-house, and also on the front end on the distribution side. So there has been increase in the number of retail outlets where we have built consistently more than 12 pairs. So I would say that repeat billing has been there, and also the premium portfolio, what we talked about, including sneakers. So there we have seen a fair amount of traction, and that has resulted in this disproportionate growth.
Understood. And any volume growth you can call out on sneakers front?
I would say that we would bucket it under premium category, which is above 1500 price point, instead of calling out sneaker as separately.
Sure. Okay. And just a second question was again on this online festive sales push. Sorry if I missed anything, but at least Big Billion Days was earlier, right? 3-4 days this year. So
yeah, so we got, if you compare it versus last year, same quarter, then we got an advantage of 2-3 days sales. Big Billion Day opened on 22nd September, but considering the transit time, last 5 days sales is not recognized in this quarter. It will get recognized in next quarter. Last year, Big Billion Day opened on 28th September, so we didn't have advantage of a single day of sale.
So in that context, your comment that online sales were impacted by a shift in online sales, were there any other sales?
Okay, so it was not in relation to last year, but had BBD also been in place earlier, then even online channel would have shown a decent amount of growth compared to distribution channel. That is what the intent
got is. Got it. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Prerna Junjunwala from Elara Securities. Please proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity. I also wanted to understand the sneaker performance as that has been the focus category to premiumize. And the ASP that we've seen at 672 is, we are in a similar range on since last three quarters. So is there a seasonality wherein Q2 is generally lower that we're highlighting that the ASPs have been great?
So, hi Prerna. So, two things have happened here. One is that we have also taken some correction on our open portfolio with respect to very low price points, which were, you know, sort of margin dilutive. So, we have corrected that portfolio and taken a bit of a volume correction there. And we have increased our premium portfolio on the sneaker side significantly due to confidential strategic reasons. I would not like to call out the exact volume, but I can tell you that it's been growing 100% plus YOY. So the performance has been very encouraging on the sneaker side, and therefore the expansion, further future expansion is also aligned in that respect.
Okay, understood. And I mean, I know that you're not calling that out, but could you also help us with your strategy on women and kids wear? How you are planning to approach these two segments and penetrate there?
Sure. So this is, you know, as per the continued growth lever that we've been calling out, we are focusing a lot on both these categories, women and kids, and we have seen a 2% uptick in the market in our saliency. Because of the additional, you know, NPDs that we've been launching, the new product development is very much focused on women and kids shoes, very high quality, very high-end shoes, and, you know, very good style. So the overall portfolio, of course, adds up to that. And then there is certain, you know, incentive structures also aligned with the channel partners along these lines with respect to these categories. So, and also the brand ambassador, right, Kriti Sanon, that we've just taken up. So, a lot of initiatives have been taken with regards to increasing the share of women and kids segment.
Okay. And last question, could you help us with this saliency? You've mentioned 2% uptake, but women and kids would form what percentage today of your sales?
16.2 is women, and
kids and child would be another around 5%, 4 to 5%.
So yeah, 78 approximately is men.
Okay. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Resham Mehta from Green Edge Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So, you know, we've been increasing our capacity, you know, for the sole and uppers. So any strategic reason apart from the fact that, you know, as we premiumize, you know, the vendors would not really invest so much for premium capacities. So any other strategic reason, you know, which gives us this advantage because of which we are investing in soles and uppers?
Sure. So there are two, three things, you know, that basically help us take this decision of additional capex in our own capacities. One is that it's the IP protection, which is a big, you know, lever in our segment. So it basically pushes out the competition by a good 6 to 8 months in terms of the launches, you know, that we first launch. And secondly, it's about, you know, investing in state-of-the-art technologies, which a lot of our vendor base is unable to do. So the kind of plants that we are now setting up, and with Haridwar 2 and now Panthnagar coming up, the technologies here is basically the same as the ones in China or Vietnam that are making shoes for the MNC brands. And with these technologies, we can basically make, or, you know, extremely high quality MNC level shoes. And that is the, you know, we've seen that already with regards to our sneaker portfolio in the market today. So, so it just helps us premiumize much faster and more in control.
So this technology, this new technology, this China, Vietnam-like technology is basically there for our entire capacities in soles and uppers, or it's only for the incremental new capacity addition that we are doing? It would be
no, this is for the incremental upper capacity. Sole is, like Sanjay called out, it was last year. Of course, with, again, state-of-the-art sole technology, but on the upper side, this year the focus has been on mainly upper, and these are basically automatic stitching plants where the human intervention is very less, therefore leading to much higher finish on the upper, similar to, you know, how it comes from China and Vietnam.
Got it. And can you just call out what is this accounting change, you know, for freight and fixed fee commission by Flipkart and Myntra?
Okay. Rishon, so in earlier quarter, I mean, this change has happened from 16th of June. So in the earlier period, we used to bill, let's say, for 1,000 rupee, and Flipkart and Myntra used to pay us 850 rupees after deducting commission and freight. But now we are billing them for 850 because they are charging freight as a separate invoice to the consumer. So consequently, my revenue has gone down by 12 to 15%, and my expense also have gone down in these two lines, both freight line and commission line.
Understood. And I see that our receivables have also reduced in H1 versus the previous time period. So is this structural or is this just, one-off?
It's not one-off. I would say that it is driven by a combination of the channel mix. So our distribution channel has performed well. We have been, and of course we do have cash discount schemes wherein we encourage our channel partners to avail cash discount and pay us on time. So that strategy has worked. However, the period end receivables would get influenced by how much outright sales we are doing in that quarter or how much we are selling to the large format stores wherein the credit period is higher.
Okay, and, lastly, just on the exports bit. So, you know, currently it's a very small part of our revenue, but how do we see the potential shaping up, let's say, in the next 2 to 3 years? What is the kind of revenue potential? And here, would the margins be higher? And would it be under our own brand name?
Yes, so it would be under our own brand name. We are approaching export as a proper GTM strategy and not just a one-off, you know, like a trading sort of strategy. So wherever we are entering, you know, for example, we are selling in Sri Lanka, we've tied up with very high quality partner there. And so we basically launched the product in the malls with proper marketing, right? And it's not just trading in one of their MBOs. So it's across the entire distribution network there. And so similar thing we've done in Morocco and a couple other countries. So we have a longer-term vision for export to grow it sustainably and with a proper brand in place, you know. So that's what the idea is, and that's how we're approaching it. So we are, while it's obviously a pretty nascent business at this point, but we are excited about the growth of this opportunity as well. As India is actually one of the lowest-cost producers in the world today, far, you know, beating China by a significant margin in terms of cost. So we do believe export is a very lucrative opportunity for the entire country going forward.
Any vision in terms of...
Sorry to interrupt, Ms. Resha. May we please request you to rejoin the queue, ma'am?
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we move to the next question, a reminder to the participants to ask a question. You may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Shraddha from Smith. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, please proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on the good set of numbers. So basically, I just wanted, so I actually joined a bit late. So if you could just give a bit of clarification with terms to the change of inventory valuation. And also if you could just give a basic, like the working capital intensity for your H2, any targets which you have in mind?
Okay, so our inventories, our FG inventory is influenced by seasonality. So normally during closure of Q2, the inventory goes up depending on the phasing of Diwali. And of course, Q3 is our biggest quarter. So the requirement for working capital increases in Q2. Apart from that, in this year there has been a change in MSME laws, so many of our vendors are falling in the definition of MSME, so our payment terms to them have got revised from 90 days to 45 days. These two trigger points have led to a higher working capital requirement, but we foresee that by end of March we'll be able to sort of reduce our both working capital and our borrowings, which are sitting in the balance sheet. If you are in isolation looking only at the borrowings, then it needs to be read together with the other receivables line, wherein we have an equivalent amount of fixed deposit sitting. So the borrowings is just a stopgap arrangement to benefit from the arbitrage. Our fixed deposits are at a higher rate versus the borrowings.
Sure, sir, that was helpful. If you could give a bit of clarity on the change in the inventory valuation.
Sorry to interrupt, ma'am, your voice is breaking.
Hello, yeah, if you could give a bit of clarity or throw more light on change of the inventory valuation.
Okay, the remarks, okay, fine. So that is just to align with the industry standards and also to sort of simplify our working. So does not have any material impact, FIFO versus weighted average, what we have done. So most of our procurements are on a long-term contract. The rates are consistent all the quarters. So let's say, for example, our sole procurements for last 6 months or rather last 1.5 years has been at the same rate. So whichever way, if you value it at FIFO or weighted average, it remains same. Most of the industry players are following weighted average, barring Bata. So we have aligned it for the sake of comparability and also for the sake of with moving on to SAP, like using the standard functionality. So there are advantages both the ways.
Sure, sir, that was helpful. So we don't have any specific one-time gain or loss with regards to this, right?
It is so immaterial that it has not been quantified.
Okay, sir, that was quite helpful. Okay.
Most of our procurements are at a consistent rate.
Okay, sir, okay. Also, so if we consider our first half growth, then it is approximately 8%, which is there. So if you could just help us with the second half or the full year growth rate, which is expected.
Yeah, so quarter one, we, you know, had some challenges with respect to the warehouse shifting that we called out. And we've been able to mitigate most of those challenges. So we hope to continue the same momentum as we've done in quarter two, and you know, we're still aspiring for a double digit growth for the end of the year, like for the whole year.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much for answering all my questions, and all the best for future.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Avinash Karumanchi from Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Congrats on good set of numbers. This is more of a keeping question. So what happened to the lease liabilities? The cash flow from lease repayments have jumped sharply from somewhere around 20 crores to 80 crores.
Okay, so hi, this is Sanjay. So our lease liabilities have increased primarily because of the Pantnagar facility. That is on a 71-year lease from SIDCUL, the State Industrial Development Authority. You would have seen our announcement when we did this acquisition. This acquisition is both land and building. Building has got capitalized in the fixed asset bucket, or currently it is sitting in CWIP. But the land part, which is on a lease, is sitting in ROU and also in the lease liability.
Okay, how should we see the depreciation and interest cost going ahead because of this thing on an annualized basis?
So this is on a 71-year lease, has an implication of around 5 lakh rupees per month. So that's how the land lease rental will get charged off to the P&L.
Okay, okay. This 75 crores for this facility, I mean, I have to see this increase in the balance sheet, be it in the fixed assets or right of use assets.
Sorry, come again, please.
So the transaction, right, all cash transactions for 75 crores regarding this facility. I don't see a similar increase in your asset base because of this transaction.
So that's what I explained. Around 20 odd crores is sitting in the building, and around 65 crores, which pertains to land. So the total cost, apart from 75 crores, it is the registration fees and the SIDCUL levy put together is around 86 crores, 20 odd crores to the extent of building is sitting in CWIP in the fixed asset line, and remaining to the extent of land is sitting in the ROU and lease liability.
Okay.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to join the question queue, you may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Devanshu Bansal from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Sorry, my questions have been answered.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from the line of Resham Mehta from Green Edge Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So on the exports, so what is the vision in terms of, you know, revenue, some numbers here, and also would this be a much higher margin business?
So I think it's too little early on this call to call out the next 2-3 year vision map. But maybe I think by the end of this year we can call it out. By let's say April. And margin, I mean, certainly it could be higher margin business, given you know that we have lower cost than the other countries like China. But like I said, it is still in WIP. It's a very small business at this point, and let us come back to you on a bigger plan in 2 quarters from now. You know, once we have a fair bit of visibility.
Right, and you know, on the margins front, right? So I think we are at around, you know, 13.5 percent kind of EBITDA margins for H1. While, you know, our aspiration has always been to, you know, go back to the 16-17% kind of margins or probably even higher. So, you know, how do we make this transition from, let's say, 13.5-14% margins to 17% kind of margins?
So we're actually there if you normalize it and you take out the phasing impact of marketing, which is just, you know, just a phasing thing for quarter two. As we expect marketing to still close at 8.5%, the same as last year. So if you put that back into EBITDA, so we've basically delivered about 16% on a normalized basis. And plus we also have a slight one-off in terms of the Haridwar 2 ramp-up where the employee cost has gone up and it has had an impact of 0.4% on the material margin. But this, as we are ramping up the plant quite rapidly, we expect to neutralize this impact as well by the end of the year. So broadly, if you normalize the business with respect to marketing, we are at 16% EBITDA this quarter.
And the aspiration is to move to 17-18% or 16% is, you know, the steady state margin that, you know, we can assume we would like to aspire for.
The aspiration is always there. You know, we still maintain that's what we're working on in terms of the premium portfolio. And eventually the premium portfolio will deliver, you know, much higher margin as well. So net-net, like, going forward, we should be expecting margin growth.
And just lastly, on, you know, the any diversification thoughts on apparel or accessories?
Yes, so we have accessories. While we have been doing accessories for quite some time already in our EBOs, apparel we are just launching in this quarter three, and some stores have already been launched. So It is something that we're very excited about, and it's a pilot that we're doing currently with about 60 of our EBOs to gauge the response of the end consumer. It's a very high quality, high set apparel line that we've launched, and you know, maybe we'll come back to you with an update on that at the end of quarter three.
And if I can squeeze in one more, so accessories would be, you know, what percentage of our revenue, let's say in FY25?
Roughly about 3%, I would say, close to 3%.
Between 2-3% ratio.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Gaurav Jogani from GM Financial. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up question. Just on the CAPEX bit, we want to understand, you know, that we have outlined a good CAPEX amount of around 280 crores. So on that, you know, how much this will lead to the capacity on the boron basis, and till what kind of stage, you know, this capacity will suffice for?
So Gaurav, this outlook on CAPEX is for three financial years. So in the year one, which is current financial year, we are just focusing towards setting up a upper line here, which would augment the capacity by roughly 3 lakh pairs per month, which is 36 lakh pairs per year. Then in phase two, it will be a repeat of this. And then in phase three, we will augment our assembly capacity. So there's a three-year roadmap, and the CAPEX will be distributed over these 3 years. Of course, year one has a higher skew because of the land and building CAPEX.
Sure. And this, the quantum is right, so 279 or 280 crores on that would be the CAPEX, right?
230 crores.
230, okay. And so this year, apart from this, the additional CAPEX that we have done on this capacity, what kind of CAPEX and the overall can we expect for the year?
So overall, our outlook remains same for the routine or maintenance CAPEX, as we call it, around 40 odd crores, which would include some CAPEX on stores, some CAPEX on IT infra, and of course the regular CAPEX on molds for Seoul. So the range of 40 to 50 crores is our regular maintenance CAPEX. Apart from that, there will be this Pantnagar thing. That CAPEX will be...
And phase one would be, sir, how much? Phase one, like this year...
So including this land and building, we are likely to spend around 110 to 115 CR in Pantnagar.
Sure. And, sir, as I asked, you know, I mean, like 36, I mean, 72 million, 72 lakh pairs rather we will be able to add in the next 2 years. And the assembly capacity, how much that will help to add the third year assembly capacity also?
That would again be, Gaurav, it will be straight away 6 lakh pairs per month. So the intent is that Pantnagar should be self-sufficient both in upper, and then the same upper will get converted into FG at Pantnagar itself instead of Pantnagar feeding our other plants.
Okay. Got it. Thanks. That's okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Next follow-up question is from the line of Prerna Jhunjhunwala from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity again. Just want to understand your EBO expansion strategy. You are at 290 odd stores today. Please help us understand what would be your EBO expansion strategy for 26-27.
Sure. So we slowed down slightly in FI in this year for EBOs, primarily to focus on profitability and to also, you know, optimize the store levels. And with these new launches of new categories like apparel, right? So we'll bring the focus back next year. This year we have taken a bit of a pause to basically focus on profitability. Next year onwards, next 2-3 years, we do expect to get back to, you know, the earlier momentum of at least 70 to 75 stores per year, ramping up to, let's say, close to 500 stores in the next 3 years, right? So that would give us a very good sort of base for even like additional growth and premiumization.
And just wanted some highlight on demand in tier 1, tier 2, tier 3 cities. Are they similar, or there is some higher momentum in any of the categories here?
No, so for the premiumized sneaker range, we have seen similar momentum across all geographies. Mainly because, you know, there is, I would say one is the BIS impact, where a lot of the similar goods used to come from China, and that is not coming anymore. So there is a very clearly visible gap in the market. And secondly, we don't know of any other manufacturer in the country who's making similar level of sneakers, similar quality, because nobody has this kind of setup for sneakers. And that's definitely one of our focus areas, along with the core portfolio of sports shoes that we anyways are very strong in. So we have seen like similar sort of, we don't, you know, across different tiers, we've not seen disproportionate growth from one or the other.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Manasvi Shah from ICICI Prudential AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a very good set of numbers. And apologies, I joined in the call a bit late. Just two questions from my side. One is, a lot of other consumer companies have called out in destocking-led impact, because of the entire GST transition. This quarter, you had a good growth in distribution channel, but is there any sort of, stocking impact, especially because when I look at your working capital, that has elevated. So that was the first question. And second, because we have passed, the festive month, how's the momentum been, especially in the online channel, which was a bit weak in Q2? Those were my two questions.
Hi, Manasri, this is Sanjay. Yes, you joined a bit late. One question we have already answered, but on the distribution channel front, we see that we are focusing more on secondary replenishment model, and our inventories in the channel continues to be in the healthy range of 100-odd days. So 3 months is something we presume that it takes from our factory to the distributor to the retailer, so that's the kind of cycle time it is. So we maintain an inventory of around 3 months with the channel, and that's where it stands. So there's not much of upstocking which is getting reflected at their end. Of course, we had a fair amount of goods in transit because there was a decent billing after 22nd, after the GST got implemented. And to your second question on higher working capital, I would say that if you look at numbers, like for like versus same quarter in the last year, the inventory levels have gone up just by 12-odd crores from 454 to 466 crores. Likewise, the overall working capital is at 372 crores versus 380 crores last year. So the numbers have not gone that haywire, but our business has an element of seasonality. Q3 is the biggest quarter for us, and hence there is always a pre-build both at our end and at channel partners' end.
Okay. And sir, on the growth momentum, for the
sector? As I mentioned that we see our channel inventory is at a fairly decent level, so we see there is a secondary demand, there is a traction, and of course, as Nikhil mentioned, that we are hopeful post this GST implementation, we will see the consumers who were holding back themselves for their buying decisions should come up and do the shopping.
I actually meant more the online channel, because I understand what you talked about, the distribution channel is very clear. Because online, the Diwali month is already passed. And Q2 for us is on online. So growth moment?
Manasvi, we had a good traction during the Big Billion Day sales in the online channel on all the key platforms. Because of the accounting things, like most of our BBD sales have been considered as GIT and will get accounted for or will get recognized in the quarter three.
Okay. Noted. Sure. That's useful. Thank you so much and all the very best.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last questions for today's con call. On behalf of Campus Activewear Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. And in case of any further queries, please reach out to Campus Activewear's Investor Relations team at IRD @campusshoes.com. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.